You know, in the first pages of the Bible, God tells us a story of how he created and how he ordered all things, right? In Genesis 1, he created all things. He gave them both form and he gave them function. All things were created by him and for him. But upon his greatest creation, the one that he made to rule over all of it, and to do so in his image, he gave a special gift in his creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God says, we are told that Yahweh God formed the man from the dirt, and that he breathed into him the very breath of life, and he became a living being. You know, this phrase in Genesis 2:7, it's a phrase that's used only here in this specific way. It's used nowhere else uniquely this way. I think pointing to the fact that God in his creation gave mankind something that he did not give anybody else, did not give anything else in his creation but the very living breath. That this being, man, was formed, but he only came alive when what? When God breathed his breath of life into him. And that without the breath of life, without his energizing of humanity, we are nothing but just dry dirt. Yet Yahweh, the Almighty God, indeed created us with life, with his breath to live in relationship with him and to do so in love. But if you know, if you read too far into the pages, you only have to get to chapter 3 and you find out that things didn't always stay that way. It tells us that before not too long that the one that was created with God's breath tried another source of life. And as a result, Adam and Eve skipped a breath. And ultimately, the living breath would depart from them. And the Bible goes on to tell us, and like our ancestors, this lack of breath would spread to every one of us, to all of humanity. I love Psalm 14 says, and it's actually, JJ read it in the Romans passage that quotes it later. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, fools say to themselves, there is no God. They sin and commit evil deeds. None of them has done what is right. Yahweh looks down from heaven at the human race to see if there's anyone who is wise and seeks God. Everyone rejects God. They are all morally corrupt, and none of them does what is righteous or right. No, not even one. The scriptures tell us, and Psalm says here, that no one seeks after God, that we all cut ourselves off from the very living breath of life. And if breath, which is life, is cut off, death results. I think this is the story of the Bible, the story of a people created by Yahweh, the great I Am, to be in fellowship with him. But we choose over and over to reject the very gift of life that he gives, offering to us. And in our rejection, we accept death. But the good news is it doesn't stop there. The very one who offered and gave the breath is not deterred. And he desires to have back those who were once lost. So what I want to do, I want to take you this morning to that prophetic passage that Andy read to us this morning, speaking in a metaphor about what Yahweh God would do to restore the very breath back into those whom he created it for and created them with. So if you would, turn with me again, yet again, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel, that's right. I like you're learning those Old Testament books, aren't you? It's good. Keep it up. He's like, you weren't supposed to acknowledge me, Christopher. You know, in Ezekiel, Yahweh's speaking to this prophet Ezekiel, concerning what he'll do for his people one day, a people who had turned from him and found nothing but death. And he's going to show them, I love this illustration here And some of us, it's a popular illustration. If not, I hope you enjoy seeing what God is going to do in and through humanity, in and through his chosen people. Look with me again in chapter 37, verse 1, starting verse 1. It says, "The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of Yahweh and placed me in the midst of a valley." He says this valley was full of bones. And not only were there bones, but there were so many of them, and they were dried out. They had been there, they were dry, they were cracked, and they had been there for a long time. And there was nothing of life in them. But Yahweh says to Ezekiel, he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And it's kind of like one of those answers like, why are you asking me, right? I love he says, well, you know, Lord Yahweh, well, you're the one who knows this. And he says, he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and tell them, dry bones, listen to Yahweh's message." It's interesting. Dry bones, dead things can listen to the voice of the one who gives life. Amen. He says, this is what the Lord Yahweh says to these bones. "Look, I am about to infuse breath into you." This idea, this infusing breath, it's really in the Hebrew. It says, "I am about to bring a ruach." And if you know this word, this is I put it up here for you. The ruach of God. And what this word means, it simply means wind. It can mean breath, right? Breathing out. It can mean a spirit. And says, "I am about to bring a ruach and put it into you, and you will" what? "Live." Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? A breath coming into something that is lifeless and living being. But he goes on further. He says, "I will put tendons on you and muscles over you and cover you with skin." They're there and they're full, but they're still lacking something, right? Here it is again. "I will put ruach in you and you will live. And then you will know that I am Yahweh, that I am being itself." A forming and a breath, a ruach, then you will know. He goes on further, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." You do what God tells you to do. "And there was a sound when I prophesied, and I heard a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, as I watched the tendons on them, and then the muscles appeared, and skin covered over them from above." Right? They stood there, a great army, in full humanity, but they still lacked what? But there was no ruach in them. There was no life. They were fully formed, but no breath. And he said to me, "Prophesy to the ruach. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the ruach," the breath, "this is what the Lord Yahweh says. Come from the four winds," the four ruachs, "and breathe." And it's interesting, this word breathe here is the same one we found in Genesis chapter 2. That one unique phrase, this is a different word. It has this nafach. He says, "Ruach, you should come and nafach. Breathe into them," just like in Genesis chapter 2, "so that these corpses may live." And so I prophesied yet again as I was commanded. Again, I do what you tell me. And the breath, the ruach, came into them and they lived. And they stood on their feet, an extremely great army. And then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are all the house of Israel. Look, they are saying, our bones are dry, our hope has perished, we are cut off." They're dry. They have no hope. They are cut off, just like all of humanity is apart from God. But look what he says in verse 12. "Therefore, prophesy yet again and tell them, this is what the Lord Yahweh says. Look, I am about to open your graves and raise you out from your graves, my people. I will bring you to a land, Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I open your graves and raise you from the graves, my people." What is he talking about here? Resurrection. Rising up. He says, "I will place my ruach in you, and you will live. And I will give you rest in your land. And then you will know what? That I am Yahweh. When you live, you will know that I am life itself. I have spoken, and I will act, declares Yahweh. If God says it, it will come to pass. This is Yahweh once again placing the Ruach into humanity, a new creation story in Ezekiel. And he says, when this happens, you will know that I am Yahweh, I am true, and that life comes only from me. Now, if you're here today, and if you didn't know it before you walked in the doors, I love that JJ said to us, the reason why we gather on this Sunday of all Sundays in the year is to do what? To celebrate the death of the Son of God. The perfect Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of the world. And how does he do so? On the cross. But he did not remain in that grave, did he? That 3 days later, the grave that could not hold the Son of God, that could not hold him in death, rose victorious over death, rose victorious over sin, and offers a hope of life and resurrection to all who have faith in him. The resurrection is why we gather on this day, yet it is not the only good news that we have. It is merely, Jesus' resurrection from the grave is merely the foundational stone in a grand design that Yahweh God is creating. Remember our walk through the Old Testament that we just had, and how we know that, how will we know that he is truly God? How will we know that he is truly the great I am? By giving us what? A fresh new breath, a fresh new wind, a fresh new spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 20. At the beginning of John chapter 20, we read the story of Jesus rising from the grave. And as JJ told us, right, that the grave could not hold him. The stone is rolled away. The grave clothes are left. And he has appeared resurrected, not merely looking like he had died, but fully dead for 3 days and rising again with a glorious body. And that I love that in this appearing here at the end of chapter 20, he comes to his disciples. In verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples had gathered together and locked the doors of the place because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They didn't know what was going on. But I love it. Jesus came and he stood among them. Through the locked door, by the way. And he says to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and he showed him his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. I don't think it's any accident that John is using the Lord here. They saw Yahweh, God, in the flesh, standing in front of them. For no one else can rise from the dead. No one else has power over death except for the one who gives life. Amen. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you. And I love this. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you another new word. You're going to get a multi-language education this morning. He says, receive the Holy Pneuma. And notice that, what did he do? When he gave it to him, he did what? He breathed upon them. We get this word in the Greek here, we get the word emphasize. It's emphasao. He emphasized upon them, he said, you receive the holy breath, the holy wind, the Holy Spirit, the pneuma. And this word pneuma is actually, when you see the Greek translated from the Hebrew, this is the word, every time, that ruach that we learn, this is the word that is translated into. Jesus, in this act, was fulfilling what the Father had promised in Ezekiel 37. that the Spirit from God, the breath of God, would come upon the dry bones and there would be life again. That Genesis 2:7 might be recreated. But this time, it's Jesus who is breathing the breath spirit of eternal life. Life from above into his disciples. And this was in the form of the Holy Spirit, fully God, the one who would indwell them forever. And I think it's helpful here just to know what Jesus is doing here. John doesn't give a lot of details here, but he gives clues along the way. Turn back with me just a couple of pages back to John chapter 7. And Jesus, he had taught about this incident happening in one day. But there was a limit when he was teaching. And he explains it to us in chapter 7 of John, verses 37 through 39. It says that on the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let one who believes in me drink. Just as the scripture says, from within him will flow rivers of living water." This is looking back to Isaiah and Zechariah and places. But look what John throws in this little parenthetical note. He says, now he said this about the pneuma, the ruach of God, the Spirit, with whom those who believed in him were going to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let me tell you something, that in John chapter 20, Jesus had been glorified. He had risen from the grave so the Spirit could be given. So what's Jesus doing here in this act? I think the author John is pointing us back to Genesis 2, pointing us back to Ezekiel 37, that Jesus in his breathing on them is giving them not mere breath, but the very breath of life. But not just life to a lifeless body like the bones, but life eternal to a lifeless entirety. Jesus is bestowing on his disciples a brand new creation. And why was he able to do this? Because he had risen from the dead. He had conquered the thing that we all have as an enemy. And he could offer new life. He could offer a new creation where the ruach, the pneuma, the breath, the very Spirit of God would give life, life that flowed out from within. Life that raises from the dead. Life that opens up graves. Amen. This is what Jesus offers to all who would come to him and trust in him. He offers the new life that is found in the Spirit, the breath that gives life. Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Paul talks about it at the beginning of Romans chapter 8. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as you have placed your faith in him, there is nothing to condemn us. For God achieved everything we could not do. Remember, JJ talked to us about that this morning. But I love this in verse 11. He says, moreover, if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, that's power, lives in, if you're here long enough, you'll hear this, lives in y'all. He doesn't just live in me. He lives in all of us who know Jesus. All y'all. I don't know if that came back there. He lives in all y'all. The Spirit, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in y'all. The one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his Spirit who lives in all y'all. This is the hope that we have on this day. This is the hope that you and I have, the hope of resurrection from the dead and the hope of eternal life for all who place their trust in Jesus. Hope of eternal life with the very one who created us to know him and, as JJ said, to worship him. Jesus' death for our sins made it possible. And his resurrection secured our salvation. And what he does here, he offers to everyone. He offers us eternal life. He offers us resurrection. He offers us hope if only we place our trust in him. And if we believe, he will breathe the fresh breath of eternal life into our mortal bodies. And we will be a new creation created in Christ Jesus. And this is not for today to get into deeply, but the beauty of Acts chapter 2 is that the same Spirit who brings life will also bring what? Power. Power to live and power to be the very witnesses and carry out the mission the disciples were given. Right? As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, I now send you. The mission that we have today, just the same, to take the message of eternal life to the world who desperately is in need of it. That is why we are here today. I like to keep the message simple, because that is what we celebrate. Life in Jesus. Because of what the Father gave in life through the Spirit, the living breath of God living in us. Amen? And so I want to call us now. I call us. We're going to celebrate. We're going to worship our God, both through song, but also through communion. Taking and remembering what Jesus has done, that his body was broken, that his blood was spilled, and that he was raised from the dead to be the first fruits that every one of us who have our trust in Jesus might have the same hope of a resurrected body. Not merely to go off to heaven one day, but to have life that starts now, to have life to the fullest, that Jesus says, and life that will eternally reign with him on the new earth in resurrected, perfected bodies. Amen? That is why we're here. We are here. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, do not leave this place today without calling upon him. Come to me. I'm sitting right there. I'm not far away. Come. I would love to show you my Jesus.